The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Right, good, super, wasn't that good? And take your Bible and go back, if you will, to 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 2, where the Bible says, "As for me, I had in my heart," now this is David, of course, speaking to the people, and he's speaking to his son, Solomon, and he's saying this. He said, "In my heart, I had in my heart to build the house," it says, "of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the footstool of our God." Now, yet to me, that just that little phrase right there, "and a footstool to our God." You know, the Bible talks about how our feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I think about the New Testament church when I read that phrase right there, how that we, if you will please, are supposed to take our feet as the New Testament church and to give out the gospel. Well, the Bible says here, listen to it, here as I read again. He says, "As for me, I had in my heart to build an house," it says, "of the rest of the ark of the covenant for the Lord." So he's going to build it to rest the ark of the covenant of the Lord in there. And the Bible says, "and for the footstool of our God," and it says, "had made ready for the building." So he had all intentions to build the building. Now here David is, it's in his heart, "I'd really like to see this happen." Now can I tell you, we have a very blessed heritage here at Parkside Baptist Church. Brother Martin May, our founding pastor, if I may say so, because the church was about to dissolve and God brought a man of God along and God rescued this church. And underneath him, the church began to get solid as he stood his ground. After him, Dr. Larry May came, did a wonderful job for 25 years as pastor of this church, laid a foundation, was able to secure the buildings in which we do sit, did a super job. And then God led us to come. So our church has only had in its little over 30-year history, we've only had three pastors so far. I am only 55, and I feel like I'm in pretty good health. I don't feel like I have one foot in a grave and the other on a banana peel, but I feel like I'm in pretty good health. I feel like that probably I could give it at least 20 years, and that means that probably I'll be able to marry some of you that's going to get married, and maybe even marry some of your children as you have children, and maybe even some of your grandchildren if they get married at the age of 2. But I feel like God is giving us a good place to be able to come. We've seen God do some wonderful things here. Now, I cannot attest to all that God did underneath what I would call our founding pastor, nor could I attest to all that God could do because I wasn't here underneath the ministry of Dr. May. But I can attest to what God, I have seen God do in my own eyes to what has happened here. Just the buildings alone, to me, has been a marvelous transition. I remember when I came, and you'll walk through a little bit of history with me a little bit, but when I came, we had some leaks that was in the roof, and I remember when it rained real hard that we'd have to sit out some buckets, and then God gave us the money to be able to put a nice roof on all 65,000 square foot of the building. And what a wonderful blessing that was. And then God began to work in our hearts, and we decided, well, we're going to go ahead and start with the hallways, and we're going to start to take care of the hallways and take care of the lobby. And we came together as a church family, and we sacrificed, and we gave to be able to redo the lobby out there. And then we sacrificed again to be able to redo the bathrooms out there. And then we sacrificed again as we came together with a commitment to redo the auditorium. And what a beautiful auditorium God has given Parkside Baptist Church. But when I first came, it was the green carpet and it was the yellow pews. And of course, the platform was right about back here somewhere. And so we decided to tear the platform out. And we went to the city even to be able to try and put up a balcony up here. The balcony had a higher wall than it does now. And of course, there was no banister whatsoever. And the people that would sit on the front row could not even see. They would have to sit like on the second row. And we went to the city, and the city actually told told us no. Said you can't put a balcony that low. And then we found out that they were redoing a theater downtown here. And so we just happened to be able to get some measurements on the balcony they were putting in there. And we found out that their balcony was going to be the same height as ours. And so we took it back to the city and they graciously changed their mind. And we were able to put a balcony there. Over on this side here where you see the steps going up, I used to call that my man cave. You know, because you would enter into darkness and it was a tunnel you'd have to go through in order to get up into the balcony. And so we expanded that and I remember that there was a metal beam across there and we had to pay a little bit of extra money. I said, please cut that beam out and open it up. That way when somebody's coming down, you know, the balcony into the main lobby here, they wouldn't feel like, you know, I can't breathe because it's getting closer and stuff. And so we opened that up a little bit. Then God was able to give us a grand piano and redo the things here and able to expand this to we could sit almost 70 to 75 that would sing in our choir. And God has just done some marvelous work. And may I say, to God be the glory. I remember us meeting over in the gymnasium, and I thought for sure while we're meeting in the gymnasium that things were just going to plummet. I thought, well, you know, we're going to lose members maybe, and maybe some people are not going to visit, but people visited and they joined. They joined. You know, while we're in the gymnasium, and I think it's because they like basketball personally, but they joined the church. You know, and the church continued to grow. And then we decided that we needed to redo the upstairs, and the youth did a wonderful job under Jonathan's leadership and raising the funds to, and the youth workers also raising the funds to complete the youth center up there, which is really used by many ministries. Our college uses it during the week, and we have preaching services up there, and all of our college classes are up there to train people going into the ministry, and the Spanish is up there right now, and they're having their Spanish church up there right now, and the academy meets up there for preaching time, and there's just so many people that use that. They did meet up there. I don't think they meet up there anymore, but that they it's just multi-use. And then we decided, well, we need to pray, and we need to pray that God would give us a kitchen, a commercial kitchen, and God gave us a commercial kitchen, about a $70,000 commercial kitchen, and the Lord provided that, and what a wonderful thing that is we have big conferences, and we help preachers, and God has just been so good. And we've added buses. We had 3 or 4 buses when I came. We have now 8 or 9 buses, and we're reaching into the metro area and so many different ministries. We had 3 or 4 Sunday school classes when we came that were adult Sunday school classes. Now we have between 14 and 16 adult Sunday school classes. And so God has just been so good. But can I tell you, God, stay with me, God is not done. Amen. I mean, this is a place where we can come and we can settle in and we can see God do some things. And I want to talk to you as your pastor to the church family this morning about how God can move us to more victories. How God can move us to more victories. You don't have a pastor that doesn't have a vision. You have a pastor that has big vision. You have a pastor that believes that one day you'll see Parkside Baptist Church averaging 1,500, 2,000 or beyond. You have a pastor that believes that one day our Bible college will be averaging 200, 300 and maybe even beyond. You have a pastor that really believes that we can help people all throughout the metro area and that we can be able to go to the mission fields as we're already doing, but even to a greater capacity. And I really believe that God's got some great things for us. And it's almost like these men of God that were my forerunners, they left a vision and I came along and I picked up that which is the baton and I said, I'm not going to let the baton drop and we're not going to change in our Bible stance or our direction, but here's what we are going to do. We're going to take that baton and we're going to put a lap or two in as hard as we possibly can to be able to bring home the victory. Now, let us look at some things here as we see David's heart. The Bible says that David called these ones together. And so statement number one, we understand this. In order to move to more victories, we have to have a prepared heart. We have to have a prepared heart. I mean, in order, don't let this just be a church building. Stay with me. Amen. Let me preach to your heart a little bit. Don't let this just be a church building. Those of you that are visiting, let this become your church home. Those of you that are members, you become active in your church home and loving people and helping people. And don't live selfishly onto yourself, and don't let it be about you. Let it be about Christ, and let it be about others. And you reach out and you help somebody and you love somebody and you encourage people and you invite people maybe out for an ice cream or a sandwich or a cup of coffee. And let's be a church family that grows together. Don't let this be a church where all of a sudden, people sit over here and they don't know somebody over there. And no. That's why we implemented the handshaking time. That way you can move around. And so when we have handshaking time, don't stand there piously in your pew waiting for people to come shake your hand. We're not in London, England, and it's not the throne. You walk around and you shake hands too. You be friendly. You put a smile on your face and you say, hey, thank you so much for being here. And man, I'm honored to see you this morning. And I thank God for you this morning. And wow, it's a great blessing to be in church this morning. Now, wait a minute. In order for David to be able to see that which is the temple built, what he needed to do is he needed, if I may say so, to place the burden, to be able to cast the vision. He needed to be able to put the vision out there so that people could rise up and say, I want a piece of that. I want to be able to be a part of that. You know, if you have a pastor that says, hey, listen, hey, one day I really do believe that God could maybe average 1,000 or 2,000 or whatever. Hey, don't be somebody that says, well, I just don't believe it. Hey, let's work together and see that it gets done. Let's work together and see what God can do. Let's work together. Hey, can I tell you, this is not a place where you're going to have liberal preachers that's going to come behind the pulpit. You're going to have true core, fundamental, independent Baptist preachers that believe the Bible, and they're going to stand for and they're going to preach the Bible, and they're going to tell us what the Bible has to say. And can I tell you, this is a good place for you to plug in. This is a good place for your family to plug in. This is a good place to raise your kids, raise your grandkids, and your great-grandkids. But it has to start with you as an individual preparing your heart. You're not going to find a perfect church. You so already see some flaws in the church, and if you look in the mirror, you'll see more. Because when you joined, you brought all your flaws too, and now we have more. There's no perfect person that has joined this church. Don't fake yourself out to believe that you're joining a church or that you're a member of a church and that all of us are walking around with halos. We are saints because we're saved, but you don't have the halo. People are going to make mistakes. People are going to say things they shouldn't say. People are going to do things they shouldn't do. But thank God for the grace of God that gives us eternal life through his shed blood on Calvary. Can I tell you, everything is fine. Amen. Statement number one, so you prepare your heart. As we get ready to go into a give it all, as we get ready to have signups for maybe another month of soul winning where people sign up. And boy, I thank God for, I guess, close to 175, 200 soul winners that go out every week. And what a blessing that is. But can I tell you, what are you doing for the Lord? May I ask you the question, what is your heart for God? Here David is meeting and he's saying this. He's saying, I really have a desire to be able to see this done. I have a desire to see this be able to go forward. And I believe on Sunday morning, you need to hear the pastor from his heart, because I'm just as much the pastor for you that just come on Sunday morning as I am to those that come Sunday night. And I'm just as much a pastor for those that come Sunday night as I am to those that come on Wednesday night. And can I tell you, I think that we need to see the full picture of what God can do. And how do we do that? It comes with a prepared heart. Statement number two, it comes with a prepared mind. Notice, if you will, in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9, the Bible says, and thou, Solomon, it says, my son, it says, know thou that the Lord, it says, know thou that the God, it says, of thy father, and serve, it says, with a perfect heart and with a willing, get it now, mind. Look down in verse 10, the Bible says, take heed now. He says, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build, it says, the house for the sanctuary, to be strong and to do it. So he's saying, don't just have the heart, have the mind to do it. What is it that God could use you to do? When I served at Central Baptist Church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, can I tell you, we gave it everything we had. When I served at the International Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York, we gave it everything we had. When we went into evangelism, we gave it everything we had. And it's not any different when I became the pastor of Parkside Baptist Church that we give it everything that we have. Now, why? Because it's not just something that's in the heart. It's consuming. It is in the mind. The mindset to be able to go forward. The mindset to be able to give myself to that which is the people of Parkside Baptist Church and the people of the metro. Can I tell you, that is important to do. So it takes that which is a prepared heart. Prepare your heart. It takes that which is a prepared mind. Watch this. Look at 1 Chronicles 28, verse 11. The Bible says, and David gave, it says, to Solomon, his son. Watch what it says here very carefully. It says, the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and the upper chambers thereof and the inner portals thereof. It says in the place, it says of the mercy seat. So he's saying, I'm giving you all the dimensions of this. I'm giving you this, and I'm giving you this, I'm giving you this. You know what he did? He had laid out some patterns. He laid out some plans. You know, we didn't just one day sit down, and neither did you if you have ever built anything or maybe remodeled anything. You know what you do? You don't just sit down and say, okay, I'm going to dream it. It's happening tomorrow. Oh, you got to put things down on paper. And you scratch them out and say, that doesn't look good. And then you put things down on paper and you scratch it out. That doesn't look good. Some of you do that when you plan your vacations. We do that. My wife and family will sit down. We'll say, okay, we want to do this on vacation. Say, what do you all think? And somebody will say, well, you know, don't really want to do that. Oh, okay, well, that's off. Would you like to do this? Well, okay, that's off. But when we do family vacations, we'd sit down and we'd plan them out together, and we'd have a good time planning them out, and that way everybody got to do a little bit of maybe some of the things that they wanted to do or something they wanted to see. Now, can I tell you, it is important that there be a pattern. Have a pattern to follow. And here David is telling his son Solomon, he said, now look, he said, the porch ought to be this way, and the pilers, the inner pilers, they ought to be this way, and the chambers ought to be this way, and the place of the judgment where the mercy seat is, this needs to be this way, and the treasuries, they need to be this way, and the rooms that's in the houses, and even the porch, it ought to be this way. You know, he is saying, hey, here's the way it could be. I remember when I pastored in Tennessee before I left, an assistant pastor took it and became the pastor, and we were, oh, I guess running 350, something like that, and had big days of 700 and so, and as we're, or maybe we're running about 4 or something like that, I don't remember, but as I was leaving, I sat down with him, and I sat down with the deacons, and I said, okay, here's how you can take it and be able to hit 450 next year. Here's what you can do the next year to be able to hit 500. And what I did as I was leaving, as that which was David here talking to his son Solomon, as he was leaving, he was saying, son, here's how this porch needs to be, and here's how the pilers need to be, and here's how the chambers need to be, and here's how, and what he was doing, he was not leaving anything unturned. He was saying, here's how it can continue to be, here's how it can advance in order to be. And by the way, that's the way we ought to be. We prepare our children for what's next. We do. You know, we try and put in their hearts to serve God. We try and put in their minds to serve God. And then we show them, here's how you can do it. Here's how you can raise a godly family in 2016 and beyond. Here's how you can take and serve God and get the blessings of God in 2016 and beyond. Here's how you can take and walk with God and please God and get your prayers answered and obey God. And here's what God can do for you in 2016 and beyond. Now, can I tell you, watch this. So here David is talking to his son Solomon, and he's trying to prepare his heart. He's trying to prepare the people's heart. Here's what he's doing. He's trying to put in their minds the things that they need to consider and the things that they need to think upon and keeping God first in their life. And then he's preparing a pattern. He's got a prepared pattern for them and saying, this is the way it ought to be. This is the direction we are going. No, we're not going to go that way. Yes, we are going to go this way. This is the goal over here. This is how we're going to reach the goal over here. And by the way, what great wisdom you can get out of your Bible when you're studying it, when it comes to making plans, when it comes to building your lives, when it comes to operating in a church, when it comes to just letting God be able to show you things that would really change your life forever. Notice this, he also prepared resources. 1 Chronicles 29 and in verse 2. The Bible says, I have prepared all, it says. I prepare with all my might, it says, for the house of God. He talks about the gold. He talks about the silver. He talks about the brass. He talks about the iron. He talks about the wood. He talks about the various stones. He said, look, I prepared all this. He said, it's all right there. All right, watch what he says in 1 Chronicles 29 in verse 3. He says, moreover, because I've set my affection to the house of God. It says, I have my own proper good, the Bible says. So it's just not saying you give. He's saying, I'm doing it too. He said, I've got this that I'm also going to give. And he names it. He says, of gold and silver. He says, I've given to the house of God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. So he said, now, wait a minute. As I'm saying, let's go, he said, I'm the one that's saying, let's go, and I'm going first. I'm the one setting the example. Now, I would tell you this, I might not be the greatest preacher in the world, and I'll tell you this, I might not be the greatest professor in the Bible college that we have, and I'll tell you this, I might not be the greatest student of the Word of God that perhaps sits underneath that which is the roof of God's earth, but I can tell you this, that you have a pastor that has a desire for every family in this room and every individual in this room to be able to learn and grow. To be able to make your families strong in serving Jesus Christ and being faithful to the cause of Christ and being able to be in a place where God does not look down and say, well, I can't bless you because you didn't do it. And then you look up at God and say, well, I didn't know I was supposed to do it. I don't want that to happen. I want to be able to shell it out, and then you decide if you want to obey it or not. You decide whether you want it or not. See, that's my job. My job is to simply get up and say, thus saith the Lord. My job is to get up and say, hey, we can do this. We can see God build a testimony through Parkside Baptist Church. And people can look and they can see that, hey, people are being saved and our lives are being changed and people are being encouraged and people are being reached. Hey, I can tell you this morning that God has resources for us to be able to step out. I was amazed this past week ago, and some dear people, friends of our church, but do not attend here, dear people. You know, they saw that we had a piano upstairs, and they had a piano, and they were getting ready to move, and their piano was nicer than maybe our piano, and so they gave us a baby grand piano for upstairs. Amen. And we're going to pay to have it delivered. And Brother Palmore told me when it came down to it, they even paid for the delivery. I mean, now you say, wow, isn't that neat? Yeah, that's neat of them, and I thank God for that. But boy, I tell you what, that was God. I mean, sometimes you just see the hand of God working. Sometimes you just see that God is blessing. And as you get on your knees and you pray, and can I tell you, my dear friend, that's what it's going to take in your house. You know, if you want your children to turn out right, just don't expect to put them in a church like this and it happen. You want your children to turn out right, don't just expect to put them in a Christian academy and it happen. Don't just expect to send them to our Bible college and it happens. No, there's got to be a mom and daddy that gets on their knees. There's got to be a mom and daddy that calls out to the Lord God. There's got to be a mom and daddy that says, God, I pray for my daughter. I pray for my son. And God, please work. And you've got to decide that you take God serious. Now, that might mean coming on a Sunday night. That might mean coming on a Wednesday night. That might mean that you turn it up just a little bit so that God can get more in you, so that he can get more out of you, so that your children can be more for him. It might mean that you just decide, hey, look, there used to be a day years ago when people didn't decide if they would go to church. They decided how many people they're going to try to get to go to church. I think we need to get back to that. Amen. You say, but preacher, there's churches all over the Metroplex that's shutting their doors on a Sunday night. And can I say shame on them? People need more of God. They need more of the Bible. They need more of truth. They need more old-fashioned singing. They need more old-fashioned religion. They need more of God working in and through. And by the way, if you've got a chance to take advantage of something like that, step in, neighbor. It's fine. There was resources. You know, we got good resources at our church. We do. You say, what is that? That's nursery workers. You say, but you got all you need. No, we don't. You know, it's funny. These kids get married. After a while, they have babies. Nowadays, those that are having babies, I'm finding out that possibly there's a common cord. Because they believe that one is not enough. So then they'll have another. And then they'll have another. I asked one of the girls the other day, got married. I said, how many kids do you want? She said, well, we're praying about 14. I said, well, you know, God, I do expect you to build the church. I just didn't believe it'd be this way. But there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, listen, can I tell you that it is important that you and I understand that God himself, you know, if God calls you to do something, my dear friend, God is going to enable you to do that. I remember when I was in high school, and let me relatively talk about what happened years ago, because to me, it is nothing sheer apart from that which is the hand of God. But I remember in high school, as I'm a junior in high school, boy, I stuttered. I'm telling you, it was quite embarrassing to humanity. I would stutter. I would stammer. I could not talk to a person without stuttering over my word. I couldn't do it. I mean, the words would just stutter out. It was embarrassing. I mean, I'm telling you, embarrassing. Here I am in this junior year of high school, and I was involved in different athletic competition and stuff, and I had this voice and I had this tongue, but my tongue was not operating with my breath, and I'd stutter. And I remember when I graduated high school, I still had some of the stuttering problems. Not as bad, but I had some. So much so that when I went to Bible college, they said, hey, are you coming here to study because you're going to be a preacher? I said, no. I could say that without stuttering. No. I want to be a police officer. That's what I want to do. I came to Bible college because I got saved late in life and I don't know anything about the Bible. Nothing. I'm ignorant. So I came to get a fast course on Bible knowledge, so that I can go home and be the right type of husband one day to a wife, and the right type of father one day to a children, and be the right type of Christian leader in my community. That's all I came to Bible college for, 1 year, and I'm good. That's why we always say, man, it'd be very wise for a parent to say, go to 1 year of Bible college. Amen. Just let them get grounded more. It's not going to hurt. Amen. They're young. They got a life before them. And help them make right choices from the very beginning. And so I went there for 1 year of Bible college, and that was it, man. I was going to be done. And all of a sudden, they wrote a letter back. Of course, I had a different heritage, and they wrote a letter back to me, my mom and to my daddy, and said, we don't think that you ought to come home. I came from a Catholic heritage, and the priest came over and tried to excommunicate me, and they said, no, he's already gone. You cannot excommunicate somebody that's already gone. That doesn't make sense. Now, this is just what happened just before the Lord. And they wrote me a letter and said, you know, you're no longer our son and you can't come. And, you know, it took 2 years for that to go away. But 2 years, I wasn't planning on being in Bible college 2 years. That wasn't a part of my plan. I wanted to go to Bible college for 1 year, graduate, go back to Baltimore City, where I was born, Baltimore City, Maryland, become a police officer, and live my life to the fullest. That was it. But no, that didn't happen that way. They said, don't come home, and so I was stuck for 2 years. 2 years stuck.
Then on June 26, 1982, God reached down from heaven and said, I want you to preach. I said, no, you got the wrong mic. You must be talking to a mic three rows back. Not me, I don't want to preach. I'm going to get up, I'm going to stutter, I'm going to stammer. It's going to be embarrassing. People don't want to come and hear a stuttering, stammering person. I mean, after all, they're not going to get anything out of it. So why waste your time on me? And he just kept poking. And I walked the aisle. That night, I surrendered to preach. I never will forget it. When I surrendered to preach, they came on Wednesday night, two guys, and said, you're preaching at the rescue mission. I said, I don't even know what a rescue mission is. They said, you're preaching at the rescue mission. I said, I don't want to preach at the rescue mission. They said, you surrendered to preach, didn't you? I said, I did that. I thought God would leave me alone once I surrendered. So like, here I am. I hoist up the white flag. Now, I'm okay, I've done what you told me to do. Now, leave me alone. Well, he didn't leave me alone. You know, God's will is not only that you surrender to do his will. God's will is that you fulfill doing his will. And so I said, I'm not preaching tonight. They said, yes, you are. They dragged me out of my room. They dragged me down two flights of steps. They pushed me in the back of the car. One sat on one side of me, the other sat on the other side of me, so that I couldn't jump out of the window while it was rolling. Another guy drove. When we got to the rescue mission, they forced me down the aisle. I was so embarrassed. They set me in a chair, and one guy stood behind me on one side. The other guy stood behind me on the other side, holding my shoulders. While that guy introduced me, I had no clue what to say. I had now become a soul winner. I understood how to lead people to Christ, so I knew the plan of salvation. I opened it up to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I opened that up, and I began to preach, and a guy started crying over here. I thought, man, he must miss his mama. And another guy, you know, over here, he bowed his head and he was all broken. I gave an invitation. To my surprise, about five guys walked down the aisle and they received Jesus Christ as Savior. I was walking past them, shaking their hand. One guy said, thank you for coming. Here's what he said that changed my life. If you would not have come tonight, I would not have gotten saved. I got back in the car that night and I thought, oh, come on now. If I would not have come, I would not possibly have gotten saved. And I said, okay, I'll be willing. God, if you want me to do this, I'll do it the rest of my life. Amen. Now, can I tell you, God has a plan for you. Don't cut him short. I beg you, don't cut him short. You know, let God work in your life. It might not be what you're planning. It might not be what you desire. It might not be what you have set out to do, even right now in your life. But God has a plan for your life. Is your daddy saved? Is your mama saved? Is your brother saved? Is your aunt saved? Is your uncle saved? Are those at work in your office, are they saved? Are your neighbors saved? I mean, God's got a plan for your life. Don't mess it up. God's got a plan for those precious kids in your life. You are called to be a steward of those kids. You're called to be a parent of those children. And God's given you some precious children. Make sure that you put them in the right places where God can zero in on their heart and work on their heart and help them to be able to make decisions. I'm saying this, there was a prepared heart. David said, I'm old, I'm dying, somebody's got to take it. He looks at his son, he looks at those around, and he puts in their mind exactly what needs to be done. He lays out a pattern. He says, here's the pattern. Here's the way I want you to build this room. And here's the way I want you to build this parlor. And here's the way I want you to build the room for the mercy seat. And here's the way I want you to build this. And even the porch, I want you to build it this way. And then he says, now, here's some of the resources that I collected, and I'm willing to give. He said, but it's going to take more than that. And so they came together to be able to accomplish the cause. And by the way, that's what a church does. And by the way, it's not about just a building. It's not about just here. It's about lives. Watch this. Right now, some of your kids are in junior church. We have, I think, on a Sunday morning, 5 junior churches. And some of your kids are in a junior church right now, in junior church. And somebody is pouring their life into that child. Thank God for that. You know, they had the privilege to come to Sunday school this morning, and a good Sunday school teacher got up with a heart full of gold and with great anticipation of helping the little children that came to their Sunday school class, and they prayed earnestly and they studied deeply to be able to help your child. Thank God for that. In the evening time at 5, we have the Bible Blazers for children, 1 through 5, and they learn character about serving the Lord and being kind to their parents and obeying in the house. And then we have the Young Fundamentals for teenagers, and then we have the adult discipleship going on, and we have a men's prayer meeting going on, and we have the adult choir that is singing and are practicing. And can I tell you, listen, as you get involved in stuff like this, here's what God does. God expands your resources. He really does. And God can do great and marvelous things in you and through you if you'll let Him do it. Father, bless, we pray. Thank you for church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.